If it's your very first time, just a very warm welcome to you. If it's not your first time, welcome back again. We love having you here. This is just an amazing thing. We never knew we'd fill this room with leaders and influencers in the life of our church. Thank you for the part that you're playing. And I just want to just welcome Doug up to the front. Dougie? Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Kevin, why don't you come as well? Yeah. Guys, this is just a picture that Jesus can deliver you from Dacha. These were the two original Dacha smokers in Pretoria. They're actually 97 and 99. But God, they were born again instantly. And the Spirit of God ignited them like that and said, you will never go bald. You will grow long hair. Amen. And I see you still have many children. But I feel like you must confess your dacha now, publicly, after all these years of hiding it. No, Manny Jay. You can sit, Kev. No, you can stay. You can stay. So if you are new to the life of this church, we are a family. You know that. We stop meetings for one person. And this is one of the heroes of our story. This was like our dad. This is the guy who looked after us when we were young. And we're old now, but he still looks after us, and he still cares for us. And he had a very, very beautiful wife, Sheena. And she passed away in the last few months of cancer, and it's been a really rocky road. But they believed in an organic church, and they believed in a Hebrew model of doing church, not a Greek model. A Greek model is very structured, and they taught us the Hebrew model. And excuse me for repeating this, but I've only ever heard Doug preach once in a church. And the day that he preached, he brought a dining room table onto the stage. He sat on the dining room table and he said, I don't want to build a church, I want to build a family. And he said, I want to eat with my friends. And Dougie, I think these people testify that what we're building here is a lounge. We're building a dining room. We eat together, as you can see. And so much of that is because of the table that you had, which has always been an open table. And we live with honor in our heart for you. You're an amazing man. And we love you. Sheena is a very dear and precious imprint inside of our hearts. And it's an amazing that on occasions like this, you and your son and daughter-in-law, why don't you stand, Duke and Tanner? Let's give them a warm welcome. Just bring greetings.
Yeah, just it's so beautiful to see what God can do. I mean, I just think of Ashley coming here all those years back, and his stories of how, you know, neighbors were against them and they were going door to door and winning the neighbors, and suddenly there was this beautiful church. And to see the different leaderships, and then Rory and Mel coming here, never quite understanding how Rory would come here, but yeah, it's amazing. I said to Carmita outside, when you come here, something gets put inside. You don't know what it is, but you get, like, enlarged. And yeah, well, greetings.
Greetings. Yo, greetings, Dougie. And where Carmita and Benita? Why don't you stand, guys, if you don't mind? Let's give them a warm welcome. Now, come and bring greetings. So this is the place they rest. Dougie, how long have you been working with Kilmita for? 25 years. Kilmita and Benita have been in Mozambique. And Dougie, and then Clint, when Clint grew older, Dougie introduced him to Kilmita, and Yeah, when he grew up, these friendships continue. So it's a most amazing thing to have you here. And they work really hard in Mozambique. And when they rest, there's actually a family in this church, Johan and Yvonne. Johan and Yvonne, when we put the floor in, they just serve. They just bring food and they love. And they just made a room in their house for people to come and rest. And so they've come down from Mozambique. They've had a really busy time to come and rest. So they are our contact in Mozambique and the people that opened the door for us. So thank you for hosting us for 25 years, Kilmito and Benita. And it's great to have you here. Do you want to just bring a greeting?
Yes. So say thank you guys for welcoming us again. And it's a great blessing to be back. And it's this time we're also resting. Since last year, we had the opportunity to come and rest and be loved. And yeah, this invitation from Clint, and we made our way up. We Benita's passport, we had just a great miracle that happened. When Clint, I said to him, we come at the end of the month, said, no, must come and rest. I see like push, you must come. And I said, yes, we're tired. But when we took Benita's passport, it was expiring on the 14th of this month, yesterday. And we said, how we come? So she went in faith, we prayed. She went to ask for another passport last Tuesday. And in 2 days, they found her to go and pick the passport. Amen. So that was a miracle. So we say, thank you guys for your prayers. Thank you for encouraging us. You don't even measure how great blessing you are for us when we go back home. Sometimes we feel lonely. We feel like discouraged. All things that are happening. We hear the stories in the north with the asses. But when we remember, you say, no, we can push. We can push. So it's God's plan that we support this side, you support us. Is that's been God's plan for ages. So we need to grab. So we say thank you very much.
Amen, Kilmito. Amen. I'm gonna share for 20 minutes. You can turn 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Good evening. We've got to read the Bible, and everything we do comes from the Bible. And you should, if you've been here for the last year, we are doing a 12-part series. I think this is number 6, where we'll put a leadership document together on what we believe. So if you come here, you're not just, we've been going for nearly 30 years. We believe in a whole lot of things. So we are not standing on our own shoulders. We're standing on the shoulders of generations that have gone before us. And we want to keep putting that into the next generation so we know what we're doing. So we've seen a revival. We have got more people than the building can hold. And as a guy came to me last Sunday, and he said to me, I've been leading a church for 30 years now. He came to me and he said, have you ever thought of doing a second service? I thought, wow, that's incredible. No, really? And I thought, no, I've never entered my mind, bro. No, never. No, I said, thank you so much. You must be incredibly wise. I said, yeah, Dumbo. I said, I'm fighting with my whole heart because I don't want to commercialize the church and just go bigger so that we can, and then everybody comes under pressure. So we are splitting at the seams. Our systems are not holding. Our parking teams are not holding. The kids' ministry is not holding. But we believe God has done it, not the devil. So we need help, and we need everybody to step up. And the people that need to step up is this team. And so we've got to go back to the scriptures, and we've got to take on more responsibility. We've been praying for this, and now God's given it to us, and we can't let the wine spill. The wine is spilling a little bit. So like some of the kids' numbers are going down because the systems are cracking. But we thank God for that. There are many churches that are empty, and God has given us all this blessing, but we need to manage it. And so can we look here just at one man? We look at different people in the Bible. If you go and have a look at Romans 16, you'll see some of the most amazing women in the Bible who worked really hard for God. You see guys in the book of Philippians like Epaphroditus. You see guys like Timothy. You see amazing women like Lydia. You see all these amazing people in the Bible. And I think at times like this, we need to look at some of the great people of the Bible and say, can I step up into this position? Can I actually play a role here? So let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Today we're going to look at a guy called Titus. Some of you know this, but you're going to walk away with a little piece of paper in your hand. It says now in verse 12, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, say gospel of Christ. Underline it. That's what I believe we are preaching. We are preaching the gospel of Christ, all of it. He gives and takes away. We are preaching Job. We are preaching the fullness of the justice of God, the love of God. And when you preach the gospel of Christ, people come. Not preaching money. We're not preaching ourselves. We're not preaching 3CI. I actually couldn't give a hoot about the brand of 3CI. We are preaching Christ. And when you preach Christ, the Bible says if you lift up Christ, he'll draw all men unto himself. That's what he's doing. We were preaching the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. Say, the Lord had opened. That's your picture. God has opened this door for us. There is no ways in human possibility that we can attract so many people with such a very limited understanding or even a limited offering. I don't think we have the best worship in town. I don't think we have the best preaching in town. I don't think we have the best kids ministry in town. But God is sending people to us. We've got a nice building. But God is sending people to us way beyond our own ability to attract people. We don't have a social media platform advertising these things. We don't have stickers on the back of our car. And yet there are stories of people coming over and over again from all sorts of different places. God has opened a door for us. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother. Say brother.
Brother.
Underline it. Brother. And later on, we'll see Titus is a partner and a fellow worker. So he's a brother first. Doesn't start with partner. Doesn't start with work. He starts with brother. We are relationally connected. But church is not just to have relationships. We are also partners in the forward momentum of the apostolic inheritance in sub-Saharan Africa and beyond. We are partners. That means our cars, our time, our houses, which many of you are giving up every single Tuesday. We are partners with our houses. The moment you stepped onto partnership, you said, my house and my car and my resources and my time and my are available to the forward momentum of the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're brothers. We eat together. We drink together. We fellowship together. We have home groups together. But we're also partners. And in any business, friends, there's no silent partner in the church. There's no such thing as a silent partner. We are fully involved, and you just have to have a business partnership where the other partners don't pull their part, and they're quickly pulled into line. And so we are relational, but we are partners, and we are fellow workers. There's graft to do. We our overflow parking, our parking is absolutely exploded. We have got cars everywhere. We've rented the property next door. I drove in here on Sunday, and the number one actuarial scientist at Discovery Health was in the park car park with a yellow hand going like that. Now, most people don't know that he's the number one actuarial scientist. He's probably one of the top 5 or 10 actuarial scientists in the country, and he's on parking duty, and I thought, there's my partner, there's my brother, there's our fellow worker. Amen? Amen? And so we're worshiping God wherever we can. And so you're going to have to change your mindset. I'm not on duty this Sunday, so I'm going to come to church. We need help. And we need 100 volunteers in kids ministry tomorrow. And we've got some people that have actually been serving in kids ministry for 28 years. Serving in kids ministry for 28 years. Not been in the service. Just advancing the gospel where God. And we're saying, that's cool. That's important. Amen? Our kids are popping at the seams. We need to build a new building. We're meeting with architects. Because the thing is, but the Lord has opened the door for us. Not the devil. The Lord has opened this door for us. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them. And I went to Macedonia. God's opened the door. But because the team is not there, I'm going to walk away from an open door and go somewhere else because I can only walk through this door with the team. Otherwise, this door's going to have to close. That's what he says. And so we have an open door now. And there's only one way we can walk through it. It's together. That means every lonely person you see, you're going to have to break away from your friendship group. Your brothering is going to have to be done on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, not on a Sunday, because Sunday is the front face of the gospel of Christ to many people who are coming here. They're coming, some of them don't even know. I met two guys yesterday at a lunch. They said, hey, do you know that guy who got baptized in your church? I said, yes. So, hey, we work with him. You know that he's invited us to your church? One after the next story, miracle story after miracle story. And so, friends, we need people like Titus. Let's have a look at chapter 7. And verse 6. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. I know people laugh at me, but I need to repeat it because my job is the chief reminding officer. The greatest way to describe the word comfort is that the fort has come. That's the best way. Come, fort, fort, come. The moment that I walk into your life, the moment I arrive at church, you should be able to say in your mind, it's okay, Rory's here, the fort has come. It's going to be okay. We feel protected. We feel like it's going to be a safe space. And when John walks in and Lilani walk in and they get behind the coffee machines, or Etienne and Laura get behind the coffee machines, everybody can relax because the fort has come. And that means we have to have protective mechanisms inside of our heart, friends. Otherwise, people will run away because there's no comfort here. There's no protection here. And we have got lots of vulnerable people coming here on Sundays. Lots of vulnerable people. It doesn't matter what I preach on about don't come to me, go to God. After Sundays, people are lining up. My husband's left me. My children are in trouble. I can't pay my school fees. There are lots of needy people, and they just need comforters. We are not the answer. You don't have to give your personal money. Just get around them, point them to God, pray for them, protect them, and make them feel safe in that which God is doing. And when we have men like Titus and women like Titus around, we'll walk through the open door. Amen? Just a few things. Number 3. In addition, verse 13. By this we are all encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was. I mean, just, and if you've heard me preach this, H-A-P-P-Y. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Just be happy, guys. Just be happy. People don't want to come to a grim church. They don't want to come to a depressed church. They don't want to come to an introverted church. They just want to come to a happy church. Just a bunch of happy people. You get on the stage, Greg, you make me happy. Why? I don't know why you make me happy. You're the only black guy with dreadlocks who wears khaki shirts and looks like an Afrikaner. You make me happy. You're the only black guy I've ever seen that can look like an Afrikaner. You make me happy, bro. You're having a full go. And somehow you've managed to embrace the Afrikaans people and you make them happy. And then they follow you in worship. And one of our top singers who signed a big contract is happy to get behind drums and play the drums where nobody can hear his beautiful voice because he's just happy to play. He's happy to serve. Just be happy. We are literally surrounded by a miserable world with bad news. Be happy. And if you can't be happy in your circumstance, be happy in Christ. Seriously, guys. That's what Titus, Paul said, I've got to walk through this door. God's opened this door, but it needs happy people to go with me. So watch your conversations. On this property, have happy conversations. Amen? There's enough to be happy about. If you just got to walk into this building, I see Ferdy and Michael, the guys who designed the inside and outside of this building. I see Stephanie, who designed the garden. I go into the garden venue that Tara designed. I'm just happy. I'm just happy. You know, friends, we were not attracting black people to our church. And then I took a photograph with a group of black pastors. This last week, I sat with them in the garden. I tell you, the Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God was there. A group of young black pastors, some of the best preachers in the country. And we've become their friends. If I had a chance, I would have played you a voice note of the one guy who said, thank you for taking us in. Because he said this, he said, we are too young for the black church and too black for the white church, but you guys have loved us on your property. Happy. Just be happy. Celebrate people. Amen? Nice to see you. Chapter 8, verse 6. Just 5 more and then we finished. So we urged Titus, because he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Friends, what Titus did is he always finished the job. If you're on duty, finish the job. It doesn't matter what time you finish the job, just finish the job. I had to phone one of our husbands the other day whose wife works here because we had a very late function and she's got a sore hip, and by the end of the evening she was limping, but she would not go home until the job was finished. And you know what that does? It represents Christ, because when Christ was finished on the cross, he said the words, "It is finished." Full stop. A completed task is a sign of Christ-likeness. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't just do it halfway. Finish the job. You want to run a home group? Run it properly. Complete the task. Greet them, love them, feed them, serve them, trust God for them. Greet them at the door, close the door, and think, another Tuesday completed. You want to be on coffee duty when the cups are washed and closed? Completed. You go home. Men and women like Titus, you advance the gospel. Jesus gets glorified. The open door gets used, and the gospel goes forward. Amen? Are you with me, guys? I know it's a challenging word, but we need volunteers. This church was actually built. 80% of this church is the one that have run this church, not 20%. That's how the world works. 20% run the organ. In the church, it should be 80% of people running the operation. Amen? We say, well, just get more staff. You know, friends, one of the reasons why we have a little staff is so that we don't have to get up there and beg people for money. And because we don't speak about money, more people are coming because I think they're not going to rip us off. And then we get blessed to be able to give you, you'll all leave here with a basket full, a box full of goodies. You know, friends, the last time I blessed, but there's this gifts. We just get these gifts to bless the church. Just says bless the church, and we bless the church. You'll walk here with a box of fruit and vegetables and meringues, and I got a letter to say, why don't you just stop blessing the leaders and actually go around and visit every home group? I thought, seriously, why don't you just write and say, thanks, Rory, for creating a church where you don't talk about money, but you just bless people. Friends, you should walk away here thinking, where do I go to a leaders' meeting and end up going away with a massive box of stuff in a church where Christ is glorified and we never talk about money? Amen? And it flows and it flows and it flows and it flows, and our salaries are under control and our salaries are small. We need another next lot of volunteers that will help us complete the task, so we don't have to wind people up for money every Sunday. Volunteers run the church. That's why I don't want to go to double Sunday services, because then the volunteers get exhausted and serving the church burns you out. And we have to appeal to commitment and loyalty and all those things. Loyalty is not a fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to have to speak to your loyalty. I don't want to make you loyal. I want to preach Christ. And out of your love for Christ, it overflows into the serving of the church. And from the serving of the church, people get saved, feel comforted, get happy, get involved. Amen? You with me? Verse 16. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. I can't put it in your heart. Only God can put it in your heart. You can be my friend. We can eat together. We can talk until the cows come home. We can read the book of Acts together. We can talk about church history. We can study revivals. But unless God puts it in your heart, you won't be able to continue doing it. And so I would love you to take this teaching to your bed tonight and tomorrow morning and say, God, whatever you're doing in 3CR, will you put it into my heart? The same thing that you've put into the leader's heart. Will you put exact, not similar, doesn't say similar, it says exactly the same. That means when you have a home group on Tuesday, you're not preaching about Israel. You're preaching about Job. You're preaching about Job. You're talking about the sufferings of Job. You're talking about the justice of God stopping before he smites Job. because Job never even understood God's justice. Job thought God was so just that he was just going to blow him away. He didn't realize that he was so just and so loving that his cloud would stop before he smote him. So don't speak about Israel or money at your home group. Speak about Job. Because God has put into your heart the same concern as the leaders of the church. So we don't fight each other. Amen? God put it in. I can't put it in. That's why we don't have to manipulate. We don't have to hype up. We don't have to try and convince. God has to do it. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm. Say much. With much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. You've got to have the same heart before you can show enthusiasm and initiative. I know lots of people who show enthusiasm and initiative with a different heart, and it causes division. God gives you the same heart. The word enthusiastic, you know that, is entheos, is a man full of God. And Titus is coming entheos, full of God and full of initiative. Full of initiative. There are lots of initiatives. I had absolutely nothing to do with those boxes that are out there today. Somebody, I wasn't even at our staff meeting on Tuesday because one of my friends was in trouble and needed to drive a car from Cape Town to Pretoria, and he didn't know how to do it. So he phoned me from overseas and said, will you drive my car from Cape Town to Pretoria? I said, what are the options? He said, there are none. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And when I came back, I heard that our elders had organized boxes to bless you tonight. You see, enthusiasm and initiative can be displayed when the heart is the same. We don't need to get permission from anyone. But we'll walk through the open door together. So people say, what do you think about the boxes? It's irrelevant what I think about the boxes. It's been executed by people with enthusiasm and initiative who have got the same heart. You with me? We walk through the open doors together. And we close with this. Verse 23. As for Titus, as for Caroline, as for Kevin, founder members of this church, absolute heroes to me. Every time I see at a leaders meeting, I don't know what number leaders meeting this is, Kevin, Caroline, I'm deeply humbled. As for Kevin and Caroline, they are my partners and they are my fellow workers amongst you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Can I tell you about my brother Doug? He's a representative of the church and an honor to Christ. And my friends Stephen and Kathy, and my friends Matt and Jess and Christian and Helen, and the Venn family. A representative of the church and an honor to Christ. We need partners. We need brothers. We need workers. We need representatives that will represent the church and honor Christ. I'm asking you, friends, to help us walk through this open door. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you, if you want to respond, can you just open your hands where you sit? If you've got faith to pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, put into my heart the same, the same, the same thing that you've put into the heart of this church for nearly 30 years. Put it into my heart so that I can enthusiastically and with initiative walk through this open door. In Jesus' name. Amen. Carmita and Benita, could you stand, please? So Mozambique is a tough country. But these are our partners. You're also our fellow workers. And Benita, she got saved. She grew up in a Muslim family. Abdul. Then the Lord appeared to her, and he saved her. The first member of a Muslim family to be saved. You're our partners. You're our brothers. You're our fellow workers. For 25 years, you've welcomed us into Mozambique. And for 6 years, Kalmito has been trusting God for a vehicle. And things are very tough up in Mozambique. And in 6 years, he's managed to save 22,000 rand. And he came down and he said to Clint, he said, can I put this 22,000 rand in your hand? Well, Clint said, Kalmito, bring it. Put it in our hands. And we'll go to our partners and we'll see what God can do with this money that you've put in our hands. And I want to, in front of these partners, these are your partners, these are your brothers, these are your friends. The work in Mozambique is going forward. I want to tell you, we got hold of our brothers, we got hold of our partners, and we got hold of our friends. And we put those five loaves and two fish, we brought them before Jesus. And if you can cut the cord, please. Just as we stand here, you might not witness this again in your life. The very first time I came to 3CI on this property, Clint bought an Isuzu Bucky. He flew up here to fetch it, and I flew up to preach here, and he said, hey, Ro, I've just picked up my Bucky. I'm going to come and meet you at 3CI. And he bought his new or second-hand Isuzu Bucky, and he brought it to the tent, and I preached, and afterwards he showed me his car. And then he took that car to Mozambique. And Kalmito said, maybe one day, maybe one day, maybe one day, maybe one day God will give me an Isuzu. But he was faithful. He's prayed for 25 years for a car. Because the only way that he can make money is if he goes to the north of Mozambique, he can buy coconuts and he brings them down to the south to sell. And now we're not just giving him a vehicle for church and for mission. We're giving him a vehicle for his business so the gospel can go forward. Good, Dougie. Dougie, come.